Safety Program, the podcast where we try to get you into a band. Today we are talking about Korn, and yes, you heard me, we're talking about Korn. Shut up. We're talking about Korn. We put in the hard work, because hard work does indeed work. The Hard Work Works fitness app will get you in tip-top physical. Coach Joe, you know Joe, Sean.
I do know Joe. I've worked out with Joe. And
he's a psychopath.
Let me tell you, you will never have a more satisfying or grueling at the same time workout than you will with Coach Joe. But let me tell you, that work is, he makes you put in the work, but like you said, it's worth it.
And he will get you in tip-top physical. The Hard Work Works fitness app is a free download, and if you use promo code STUPID, you get a free month. And you can check it out, see if you're into it, and if you're not, no commitment, you're done, delete the app. If you are, Coach Joe will help you get to where you're trying to go, get all your physical goals, and Hard Work Works fitness app. Check it out, $10 a month. Coach Joe, I love you. Join the hustle. All right.
Yeah.
So are you guys ready? Hey-o!
Hey!
Sean, I can't describe how happy I am that this episode is happening, because you put Korn up on the board literally years ago at this point, probably 4 years ago, and it's just been sitting there, and I keep looking at it, and Korn is one of those bands, and I'll get into it, but it's one of those bands that I've been dying for a reason to get back into. But walk me through this. Like, why is it, what does Korn mean to you? Why do we have to do Korn today?
So, Korn, what's funny is a lot of people don't know this. Growing up, I went to private Catholic school, okay?
Oh.
And wasn't exposed to a lot of newer metal, and no pun intended with new metal, but I wasn't exposed to a lot of newer metal. The newest things I had been listening to was Metallica, was, you know, Pantera, was, you know, stuff along those lines. For examples, the first albums I ever owned as a CD anyway were Bon Jovi and Slayer. So like 80s stuff, you know what I mean? Nothing more recent. When I first got into, when I was in eighth grade going to ninth grade, I was introduced to Follow the Leader. And checked out that album, fell in love with it instantly. I burned a ring into the disc listening to it so much. And this is, you know, the day and age before you could just get music anytime you wanted. So you had to save up and buy the albums. So they were the first band that I went back and bought every album I could when I had the money. And when Issues came out, I was one of the people who submitted one of the designs for the Issues cover, because they did the artist.
Yeah.
I didn't get mine picked, but I submitted because I was so into Korn. And dude, they were just such an integral part of my growing up. And I was that perfect audience, the angst in the teen and whatnot. And the music, even still today, a lot of it still takes me right back to that same place in high school. I can imagine myself sitting on the bus on the way to school, ignoring everybody, listening to my angry music. But I just, to this day, man, I think Korn holds a special place, because while they were new metal and everything, and yeah, they did the rap rock type stuff, and they did a lot of the really heavy vocals and things, man, they did some really weird out there stuff too that I think pushed the boundaries of music and what people were doing at the time.
Ab-so-friggin-lutely. And with that, Curtis, this is your first time jumping into Deprogrammed. Why is Korn the first one that you're here for? Like, why Korn for you? What do they mean for you?
It sounds like we're all three kind of an age.
Yes.
And I remember being very, very passionate about those first two records. And the second one, we snuck that around study hall in eighth grade. And we listened to that one to death. And I definitely put the ring into Life is Peachy, for sure.
Maybe
the first one, too. That was, I mean, just what a 14-year-old boy needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
An outlet. Something, somebody who speaks to you, you know, you have a lot of feelings and you need to let them out. And sometimes they're soft and a lot of times they're angry. And very, very, yeah, probably a little bit more sophisticated musically than a lot of that other new metal of that era.
Mm-hmm.
And you see why they were the ones that hung around.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Therefore, and some of my current favorites that I listen to all the time are the bands that really influenced them. Faith No More and The Cure are very, very regular listens for me.
Yeah.
So, I would say I'm a little bit more of a lapsed fan with Korn. I think I've seen them 3 or 4 times in the last decade, just from them being in town or opening for something else. And it's not an all the time thing for me, but when I get back into it, I have a little phase. I'm like, yes, this is, why did I ever leave this?
Yeah.
It's like coming home again.
Yeah. It's like coming home again. Yes.
So my relationship with Korn, I lapsed is a good way to put it. I lapsed Matterly. So for
No kidding. We had that talk with you about what we were going to do on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Issues hit, I was pretty much out, which is funny because, you know, coming back and listening, Issues is arguably one of my favorites now. It's so good. And honestly, I turned around quick on Issues, but I never bought back in on them. I remember, you know, some stuff hitting the radio and just being like, whatever, I'm done with these guys. It's like what's funny is it's this combination of Metal Justin, like in 01, being, I was trying to be just metal guy. And I think when I decided I was done being just metal guy, I decided I'm shedding Korn and not taking them with me. I'm not letting them grow with me, which mistake, I think, especially in hindsight now, because
right. There's
a lot of similarities, maybe not musically, between Korn and what they did and the Smashing Pumpkins. Like after revisiting, for this, we did complete albums, the first 7, because there's 14 records. There's no way.
I was going to say, by the way, guys, there's a hell of a lot of records.
Yeah, we couldn't do everything. So we did like the first 7 records in whole, and then you guys had choice songs from the back half of the discography. Mm-hmm. So one thing I realized immediately going through the first 7 records is, much like Smashing Pumpkins, while there is, you know, there's Fieldy, there's Dave Silvera doing their things, they're making changes from album to album. Like, the albums are not, like, Self-Titled is not the same as Life is Peachy, is not the same as Follow the Leader, is not the same. The closest two are Follow the Leader and Issues, I think.
The closest, yeah.
But even those two aren't the same. There's there's the same core Korn sound, but they're making changes as they go.
Yeah.
And I got to respect that, you know, like, again, at the time, like, I'm like, no, I don't want that. But like coming back as a 40-year-old man and listening, I'm like, oh, and much like Curtis, like the second I'm pushing play, I'm like, oh my God, why did I ever leave this? Like, I was taking a walk around the neighborhood and listening to some of these records and just going, like, you know, I notice I'm walking faster, like I'm pumped up, I'm fired up. And oh my God, like, so we were just talking about like the sound changes. So like Follow the Leader and Issues to me are like Korn embracing the LA sound. Like they already had an LA sound with Self-Titled, but like the polish, like the Hollywood, like, so Follow the Leader and Issues to me, like, are, I don't want to say the pinnacle, but oh my God, those two together are so freaking good.
Yep.
And I'm going to say something possibly controversial. Life is Peachy, probably my least favorite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, now, you see, now, and I'm talking from a perspective of somebody who's listened to the later albums more than you have at this point. Life is Peachy would not be my least favorite, judging with the later albums,
because mm-hmm.
some of the later albums don't quite do it for me as much. But I'll say, if we're talking about those first 7 albums or so, Life is Peachy is definitely in the bottom for me somewhere. And it's not because it's a bad album.
Yeah.
It just, for me, like, the first album was the first album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It hit you out of nowhere and everything. Life is Peachy was good. But I don't know that anything on Life is Peachy hit me quite as hard as the first album did. Didn't reach out and grab me by the throat like the first album did. And I got to be honest, I was one of those people who hated Adidas. the song. I thought it was such an obvious pander to trying to get a song to be popular because of the phrasing with "All day I dream about sex." Teenagers everywhere will sing that. I used to skip over that track a lot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that was a bummer because I don't do that on Korn albums. I don't skip songs. And also, by the way, just going to throw this out there, Adidas has the best radio edit in the history of radio edits.
Humping.
Humping, yeah, instead of the F-bomb.
Yeah.
That is the best radio edit
so great.
Ever.
So great. Well, I mean, since we're naturally getting there, then walk me through what your list-making process was like this for Sean.
Well, it was difficult.
Yeah,
there were times I was sitting here and like thrilled to be going back through everything and writing down the songs that I wanted to have on my list, and then I would have to make cuts and I'd be like, I hate Justin. This is ridiculous. Why am I doing this? This is dumb. And then when I cut the list down to a tidy 50, I was like, oh, I have so much work still to do. it was stressful, man. It was. I think the biggest thing I did for me was when I got to a certain point. I found myself trying to be too like picky on some of them, like, oh, this one really they really captured the sound of Fieldy's bass really, you know. I try to be too picky on some of it, and I'm just like, no, what songs are doing it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm listening to these right now, which ones am I going to first?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so I just started going through, and the ones that hit me, and this is the thing about Korn especially, it's all music, it's all art really, but Korn especially, dude, it's not always about hooks and lines and whatnot and choruses. It's about what grabs me emotionally with these guys, because Jonathan Davis, out of probably almost any singer in, I'm going to say music, let alone metal, throws his emotions into these songs so, so much. And you can't help but feel that in a lot of these songs. So for me, it was... which songs made me feel something in my chest, or, you know, inside, was which ones made me angry, which ones made me sad, which ones made me, you know, which ones really touched me as art, that, you know, and made me feel something that made my cut eventually. And then there's one or two in there that just get me hyped up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So this being your first time, Curtis, walk me through your process. How did you put your 20 together?
Those first records, I felt like bang, bang, bang. Like I just one listen through, I knew how to get that first pass very, very quickly. Very few on that first half were like, oh, I never considered this years ago, or feel like I'm pretty impressed with my younger self for knowing which ones were great. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second half, I actually asked my younger brother, he's 18 years younger than me. And he's been with Korn pretty steadily through the last 10 years. So he's more savvy than I was. So on my second listen, I asked for some guidance from him too. And I asked him for help on that 10 songs, and he couldn't keep it to 10.
I get that.
So really, when I got down to whatever it was, 35, I made a playlist and listened to it while I was lifting. And the ones that helped me get those big lifts, those got a lot of extra consideration. Uh-huh. So
yep.
It's not a scientific process here. It was which ones have that big, loud, screaming bridge that can help you hit a PR, right?
Hey, look, same side of or different side of the same coin. He's just trying to feel it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's just feeling it, and that's how he gets there.
Yeah.
Real quick, though, I have a question I want to ask to Curtis specifically, because you and I were tasked with homework in this outside of just coming up with a list. You and I had to come up with songs from the later albums to give to Justin to listen to. And I'm curious how you went through that. Did you just pick your favorites, or did you pick things you thought Justin might like? Because I got to tell you, that was actually – I actually had a really easy time picking out the later songs. And when I – but what's funny is I made some cuts I didn't want to make. And then later when I saw what I'm assuming you had suggested, I looked back and I went, oh, good. He picked most of the ones I cut.
Yeah, again, that was part with my younger brother. He helped me with that. And really, no, it wasn't like what's going to make the final 10 or thinking about, you know, what are you guys going to be thinking of? Like, I obviously... I thought, hey, just come from like a game theorist perspective, anything that you and I both have on that 10 is probably going to really be getting extra consideration, right?
Right, yeah.
But then I thought, you know, I can't think about it like that. Right. I'm going to put together my favorites. Also, this is a good time to say the band,
mm-hmm.
they know which songs are their best songs. And the ones that are get consideration as singles, I think really stand out. And they're not, in my 20 here, I don't think I have a ton of deep cuts. I think it's more songs that they've put forward for single play or more.
I get that.
Ones more that are more in the rotation at live shows.
Yeah.
So maybe if I've seen it live, maybe that's what stuck with me too.
Oh yeah, I get that. Again, that adds to that feeling, you know.
Yep.
So I gotta imagine that it was a little freeing to have, like, there's no pressure on that back half for you guys. Like, I think mm-hmm. you guys each had what, 15 or was it 10? I don't know.
I think it was 10. 10, but yeah, I don't remember.
10. It was 10.
That sounds right.
It was 10. So, like, not having to worry about, oh man, like, this has to be good enough to make the 10. This has to be good enough to even make my 20. It's just, these are ones Justin should listen to and consider.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, I can't lie. If it was on both of y'all's lists, I definitely gave it consideration.
Right.
But again, the common thing here on all three of us, I'm looking for the feeling. If I'm walking through as I'm listening to each song, if it made me go, fuck, yeah. I mean, it made my first pass. I will say, it took me a while to like really get into doing this one because I listened to self-titled and I didn't make a single cut.
Wow.
I was like, God,
that can be a problem sometimes.
I was like, okay, I'm going to have to come back to this. I'm not ready for this yet. But then I was able to look at Follow the Leader and as many times as I'd listened to that when I was younger, like I'd hit play and I'd go, oh yeah, this song. I was able to find as much as I love Follow the Leader, I was able to find the cuts a lot easier on that record.
Right. And
so then I was like, okay, this is starting to become a little bit more manageable. And then I started going. And again, I'm looking for that feeling. I'm looking for that, oh my God, yes, this is Korn. Oh my God. And I'm also, I have to say, pleasantly pleased and surprised with, you guys sent me a couple songs each from The Nothing. Is that their most recent record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Solid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Considering like they found a way to make what makes Korn work in, you know, I don't know what year that came out, 2019, 2020, like, but
2019.
So 2019, like they made a Korn record. Like and mm-hmm. and it's not like, you know, some of the stuff kind of in between issues and that where it's like they're trying to make something kind of contemporary. They made a Korn record and I was like, oh man, this is pleasantly surprising. So I was into that. But with that, the name of the game is Deprogrammed. We have each combed through the first seven and a choice number of songs for the back seven Korn records. And we plucked out 20 songs and we're now going to mash them together in an attempt to create a top 10 starter kit. So where do I start? I think I was really impressed with Untouchables, considering that was pretty much where I checked out. And I think one of my favorite songs that I'd heard, and it really kind of started shooting up the ladder. We'll get to
that. No pun intended.
No pun intended. We'll get back to that later. Was Thoughtless.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have that as well. I have that as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Unanimous. God, that's good. Hold on. Let me scroll and
starting
find it.
Starting off with a unanimous.
So here's the thing. Let me find it in the playlist here. Oh, God. Where is it?
Oh, it's in there.
It's in there. There it is.
There it is.
Get a little taste of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly what you hope Korn's going to be after issues. And again, like you have... you have it's a little different from Issues. It's not the it's not the same thing they were doing on Issues, but it's still Korn. Hold on, get this up to the top where it belongs. Oh God, that right there.
Ugh.
Undeniable, absolutely undeniable. And then Jonathan just doing what Jonathan does. God, that's great. All right. Hey, one for one. I'm not, you know, yeah. I'm not going to keep count, but not a bad start. All right.
Not a bad start.
Sean?
Okay. All right. By the way, just on your thoughtless thing, I just want to throw this out there. Not a lot of people out there are covering Korn songs, but when they are, it's usually that one. And really? There's a reason, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Evanescence has a cover of that one.
Makes sense.
Oh. It's really effing good, actually. I've seen them perform it live, and it's awesome.
Wow.
So, you know, trust me. And by the way, just as a cool note here, I actually, for those that don't know, I work in radio, and I spoke with Amy Lee of Evanescence not that long ago, and she said that Korn was the coolest band to her when they started out.
Oh, good.
She said they were awesome. They helped them learn about the road life and not running themselves ragged, and like just were super cool to them on the road.
That's cool. That I mean, it's always good to hear that. Like, you kind of would have to assume that about them for to have a career like they've had. But
don't be D's.
Yeah, don't be dicks. Like, I mean, you see Fred flamed out. I'm just saying. I mean, he's still around, but at the same time, he's flamed out like at least twice. So
yeah.
I'll take the over on twice.
Fair.
Right. So my first one, I'm going to throw this out. You brought up to start off with. So to start, I couldn't think of a better place to start than the start. The one that started it all, Blind.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. From the debut self-titled album, Korn. I mean, that soft intro that just builds into they did that a lot on their albums, man, with those little subtle intros that built into that, just that heavy kick you in the face riffs, and oh, it was so good. And Blind, I heard that at so many house parties like growing up, and people just would lose their mind. To this day, I think people would lose their minds if that came on.
Yeah. And so this is another one of those records, along with Deftones' White Pony, that I would go to ICP shows and this would be playing beforehand, and it's just like it's right there, like it's all of that is all together, like it would get you so fired up. Get a little taste of this.
Oh yeah,
they're just fooling with you here. Oh, what? I'm gonna turn it up. Oh! Yeah. Yeah.
Is that not the greatest start to an album of all time?
God, it's great. It is. And I mean, it sets you up for what Korn is. So it's great.
Yeah.
If you see them live and you don't like that part of the show, the Are You Ready? Maybe live music isn't for you.
Exactly.
They stretch out the intro so long. It starts so quiet. It becomes so loud. God, they milk it, and it's just this phenomenal, phenomenal moment.
All right, so do we all three have that one?
Yep, it's in.
All right. See, now the concern here is we all have a lot of the same ones.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than 10 unanimous here.
That's what
I mean, it's been a worry a lot recently. So where you at, Curtis? You're up.
I definitely don't want to break the streak here. Something that I feel like is a super no-brainer. Let's go to Issues. Somebody, Someone.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. I have that one. And that, you know, and that was one of those albums, like Curtis pointed out, that a lot of times, and I won't say every time, because I think they made one or two ones where I was like, grr, but most times the band knew what their best songs were. And Issues, dude, the singles off that album are amazing.
Yeah. So good.
Probably some of their best.
Yeah.
Overall.
There's times where, like, and we'll get to that as we get deeper, because, like, I think you guys might have ones that I don't have that hurt, physically hurt me to cut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Issues specifically. get a little taste of Somebody Someone. That's Korn, like.
His vocal on the verses, very creative.
Well, I love, like, they veer into, like, just something. So they took a chance here, like.
Yes.
They have that polished LA sound on Follow the Leader. It's a little bit more direct nu metal, and then with Issues, they're like, okay, we're going to do that again, but we're also going to start taking some chances vocally and with the guitars, and oh my god, like, you get Somebody Someone out of it, word up. God,
what a song.
Yeah. All right, now the question becomes, do I start taking the chances? Yeah, you know what, I feel good about what, you know, I'm gonna go back to the first record.
Okay.
Because I was listening to this before you guys came on today. I was, you know, just kind of going back through stuff. And this is an undeniable song to me because of all of it. And at the beginning, four. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm dying. You want to hear it? Fuck. Just fucking do it, damn it. Clown.
Yep, I've got it.
I don't.
Okay.
Hard cut.
Oh yeah, it is a hard cut, but I understand it. There's so much on that album that you'd have to basically flip a coin. You know what, yeah. I mean? Because there's so much good stuff on that album. But yeah, I've got Clown on there.
All right, so let's see. Clown.
I'm using color coding for my thing to determine what we've done and what we haven't.
Hey.
So you can't see it. It's just a screen.
Yes.
But so yellow means two of us agreed.
Good, because for once I didn't put my list onto a computer, so I'm trying to
same.
Keep, yeah. Usually I do it. This time I did not. So
I did it all sitting at my phone.
I'm all regretting it. All right. Sean.
Oh, it's my turn. See, now I'm all right, we've already broken the streak of all the of everybody liking, of everybody agreeing on one. So I think I'm gonna go to an album that Curtis enjoyed, and Justin and I were a little more iff on. Life is Peachy, okay, and I'm gonna go with the song "Good God."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. No.
Yes.
No. So Justin, you don't have that one.
I do not. Nope. So
that one, I thought it was such a good one because this is another one of the things that Korn does so well. They relate on, they write things that are relatable, and the anger in that one about being taken advantage of by somebody, especially a friend who, especially in high school, man, that person that's faking being cool with you for something else, for some other reason, was just something you could relate to. So, and even now as an adult, I can relate to that. You know, people will do that to you all the time. And he does such a great job of being that voice you want to be when you finally have had enough of this person. And most of us never actually get to that point. So it's great to be able to vicariously live through that song.
Yep.
This is easily my favorite song that's not like a hit or a single.
Yeah.
This might be my personal favorite overall.
Oh, wow.
This. Being 14 years old, this is my favorite one on the first pass on this record. Yeah, love this tune.
It's such a good tune.
All right, well, it makes the conversation. It's not out, so.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Naturally.
Where are you at, Curtis?
Yeah, so let's get weird. and I think if we're going to address creativity, we got to talk about the dubstep record here.
Okay.
This is not my favorite, but I think this particular song really stood out from this era. Twisted Path of Totality, obviously, is this record. Narcissistic Cannibal.
I don't have that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I can't do the dubstep thing, and I get the logic behind it because it's them pushing boundaries and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate Skrillex so much.
yeah. And it's certainly not that's not something I listen to regularly at all, or really ever.
Yeah.
I just think it's a really big, cool, soaring chorus. So
I'll give you that. Yeah. It just, the thing that for me was just, I couldn't get, it's my own personal fault. I can't get past my distaste for Skrillex. I'm not a huge fan of dubstep to begin with. It sounds like Transformers fucking. And I remember when Jonathan Davis did the interview before that album came out, where he talked about how into it the dubstep sound he was and wanting to work with that sort of thing. And I remember just my reaction to it, be like, no. What happened to every album you're saying we're getting back to our original sound? Yes. Now all of a sudden it's dubstep. Like, I was a little heartbroken.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't. Unfortunately, it just didn't do much for me.
So this was one that you guys both had for the back half, and I gave it serious consideration. I couldn't do it. Like, it didn't move me like a lot of the other stuff. And so, is it fine? Sure. Like,
sure.
For what it is, it's fine. But I couldn't bring myself to include it as, because again, it didn't move me, which was what I was looking for here.
I'm glad it's good to know that Curtis. I mean, we had the same idea about it. I just didn't get into it like he did. But I had it on the, like you said, that was why it was important, Justin, that we clarified that the songs we gave you from the back half didn't have to be on our list.
Yeah,
because I'm like, because that's not a song I'd put on my list. But I felt like it was important to at least be like, this is a thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a direction they went. And, you know, for all I knew, you and Curtis were going to get on here and slob all over it. And I had, you know, I'd be the odd man out. But
the probably a justified trip to the trash here, or the recycling bin. What are we calling it today?
The not listed.
I'm glad we talked about it here for a minute.
I'm glad it made the conversation, because it's, they did that, you know, and props for taking that leap. So, I'm going to go back more to, this, I already mentioned like going through the self-titled and not being able to get rid of anything. And then I came back and started with Follow the Leader, 'cause I was a little bit more familiar with that. And I pushed play, and you talk about transformative, this time travel, this took me right back to when Follow the Leader came out and put me right in my place, right where I needed to be to listen to Korn. It's on.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I do have that one. I couldn't remember if it made the cut or not. I was like, wait, did I put that one on there? But yes, I do have it. It's another one of those songs, just like Blind, man. You start it out, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, how does this not get you psyched for the whole record?
And it's got like that neat, like, weird sound at the beginning.
Some synthesizer or whatever it is, yeah.
Yep.
Here, it's so cool sounding. And then the drums.
Dude, again, is this four unanimous? Ooh.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep. Not bad. For considering the discography that we're tackling here, to have four already with plenty of conversation.
4 out of 7, too. We're doing better than 50%.
Yeah. Get a little taste of this. Oh, my God. Like,
give
they're
to me.
Setting the table so good here. Come on. God. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that makes me feel good.
So good.
All right, Sean.
That's me.
Yeah, you're up.
All right, it's my turn. So I think I'm going to stick with Follow the Leader. And you know what? Oddly enough, I'm going to go and throw this out there right now. I don't have some of the bigger singles from that album on my list, because I do not think they were necessarily the best songs on there. But this one right here, for me, best song on the album, maybe my favorite Korn song of all time. And I feel like at least one of you is going to be a big fan of the title. Justin.
I don't have it.
I figured it might be a little out there. It's so weird and eerie. And, dude, I don't know, but that song makes me I feel something in my chest every time I listen to it. It builds up, and I can't – I don't know, dude. Nobody can talk to me while I'm listening to that song. No, like nobody can talk to me. I'll get angry and start the song over. I love that song so much.
That is, I think we need to put a pin in that conversation right there. Cause yeah, that's something we need to talk further about, but I'm not going to lie. I gave it consideration cause it's my name.
Bias.
You're looking for cuts, right? You're looking for cuts and you're looking for whatever reason to, okay, this will give it an edge. It didn't make it for me, unfortunately. And was that a no for you too, Curtis?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Curtis also hates good music. So
well, I mean, that's true. That's true.
I'm totally kidding.
All right, Curtis.
Well, here's one that has radio edit, and so the original version I'd never heard before, and it's got kind of this weird stuff at the beginning. Most of my listening was on headphones, so this was like the way they played with the speakers and stuff and going from left to right. Twisted Transistor.
Oh,
it's really good.
God,
it's
really
good. But that was one of the hard cuts on mine.
It was literally 24. I cut it this morning.
Yeah.
I love Twisted Transistor. Like I cannot explain enough how much I love that song, because it's a nice twist, for lack of a better word, on their sound, but it just didn't make it for me.
And I'm the same with you, Justin. It was in my last round of cuts. It was so close. It was so close. And I think there's you know what? The one I'm going to suggest next is the one that probably took its spot. We'll discuss that when we get there.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to go a hit. And judging by Sean's last play, he might not have this. And I'm hoping, Curtis, you save me here, because I think this is an important one. And going through and listening to it, we talked about the Hollywood sound. And this song, to me, is them embracing it, like, fully. And even poking fun at themselves a little bit when you look at the video. Got the Life.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
I do.
I figured you two might. Those two, the big singles off that one didn't do much for me. Got the Life was one of those ones. And maybe it was just a sheer matter of it being everywhere.
It was everywhere.
And even people who didn't like Korn played it all over the place. And it just irritated me for some reason. And so I was like, it's fine. It's okay. But it just never grabbed me.
Now, what's funny is your initial point on that, like, I was the same way with Got the Life when it came out. I was like, God, get it away. And it's still one of the few older Korn songs that still lives. Like, it still gets radio play.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
I heard it, I think, last year at some point on the radio, and I was like, oh, I forgot how much fun this song is. And then listening to it, I wanted to cut it because it's Got the Life. But listening to it within the confines of the album, and then listening to it, you know, when I came back around for my next cuts, I'm just like, how do I deny this? Like, this to me is that message of, this is that Hollywood sound encapsulated in what, 3.5 minutes. So,
right.
All right, Sean, you're up.
All right. So this one,
sorry.
And I'm going to be honest with you. This is, we're going back to the debut album again. I don't even really want to say the name of this song, which means everybody probably knows which one it is.
Yeah.
We'll say that it's an F word, and mm-hmm. it's a slander for the homosexual community.
Yeah.
And the reason I have it is because, again, I'm going back to this logic of the song itself is about being abused and bullied and trying to figure out who you are and why you're going through that process, being torn down constantly. And standing up to those people. And dude, even in our 30s and just, you know, between 30 to 40, I mean, people that we know are still trying to figure out who they are and struggling with their identities and struggling mm-hmm. with their sexual identities and this, that, and the other thing. And there are a lot of people out there throwing a lot of hate around. So I feel like the message is still very, very meaningful to today.
Yeah.
To even people who are adults at this point. And the listening to the song, man, it actually makes me hurt for him in that song.
Yeah. I don't have it.
That's okay.
All your reasons are 100% why it was like a very, very late cut for me. I have trouble with that word.
I do too.
And
I do too.
the context for which it's used is used for the right purpose, because for some reason it was a derogatory term. Like, people calling somebody gay was like, it was a bad thing in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, it, why? Like, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there right now. But I had a hard time getting around that word, even though I honestly do feel like this song absolutely belongs in the conversation.
Right.
Yeah. I thought about this too, and I think the message is pretty important. Like, what the protagonist of this song is going through seems very realistic. Mm-hmm. And being gay and being called sexual slurs.
I think it even goes deeper for him, because I think in Jonathan Davis's world, he wasn't gay. He was just, he didn't know who he was yet as a sexual, you know, his sexual identity. He hadn't figured that out, and people were deciding it for him and terrorizing him.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, that's awful. Again, while you're trying to even figure that out about yourself, you know, and having this put upon you where A, you're being told what you are, mm-hmm. and B, you're being told you should be ashamed of it. You know what I mean? Like, God, that's so messed up.
Yeah, be ashamed of the thing that we're saying you are, even though you haven't figured out that that's what you are. Like,
yeah.
I know I just said the same thing you did, but like, if you, when you, that's, it's just, it's shameful, Daddy. Was that a
shameful, Daddy?
Was that a no or was that a yes, Curtis?
No, for me, I'm very glad we talked about it.
Absolutely.
I don't think it's maybe musically there with some of the other ones that we're talking about, but
I agree with that.
As far as a message, very strong. Yeah, again, something very, very glad it got brought up.
All right.
And again, it's just a bummer because it's like, I want that song to be named something else now.
I know, right?
Like, so I can talk about the song.
Yeah, except I'm glad that it's so aggressive. And
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the message is a little bit more clear, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. You see the name of that song and you're like, okay, you know what's going on in this song. Absolutely.
Yeah. But getting us to feel a certain kind of way, that maybe that's the point, right?
The crescendo in the song, I mean, we all know it, is when he finally gets to that part where he's had enough, and yep. he does that line, you could suck my fucking dick, I like it.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, that was, you know, and you just, I don't think I've ever not seen anybody who listens to Korn, everybody scream that part when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, again, everybody feels it.
I just to echo what Curtis said, I'm 1,000% happy that it came into the conversation. So,
right.
Curtis,
let's stay on the first album. Ball Tongue.
I do not have Ball Tongue.
Me neither. Nope.
It is a great song. I do enjoy Ball Tongue.
Yes.
But it didn't, I don't know, for some reason it didn't, I don't know, it just, if for on the first album, it didn't jump out at me amongst the other ones that I had chosen. And I was trying, and this was just my personal strategy, I was trying not to go too hard on one album in particular, because right. I didn't want to leave myself no room for right. other songs.
Yep.
Right.
All right. We talked a little bit about The Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to trot one of the ones out that it was, both of you guys presented this to me. Now, whether it made your 20 or not is out there. Cold.
Another really late cut for me.
Same.
Okay.
And you know what's funny is I have two songs from The Nothing, and that's not either of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's such a good song. It's such a good song.
Yep. All right. Sean?
But see, and I enjoy that. I enjoy the fact that we presented a song that necessarily we weren't going to choose, wasn't mm-hmm. going to end up on our list, but that Justin still took the time to look at it and said, you know what? There's value in this later album. There's good stuff on this, and came away actually impressed with one of the songs that even you and I didn't think to include on our actual list.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself, friend. You are up.
Oh, dang it. I
know.
Again. All right. Well, I'm going to stick with The Nothing then. And I'm going to go with, You'll Never Find Me. Oh, no, God, there's a lot of
silence.
No,
a late
there.
Cut for me.
Yeah, I didn't have that either.
Well, dang it, guys. That's one of those songs that if I hear it, I can't stop singing it for the next day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives my poor girlfriend insane. I will be back in just one moment. My dog is going ape. I will be right back.
Very good.
Oh, Guinness. All right. So let's see. Where were we? We had, I think I forgot to put unanimous for it's on. No? Which one did I forget? Blind, it's on, thoughtless, somebody, someone. That's the other
those
one.
Are the four.
Somebody, someone. No, I've got that too. Why is that not? Weird. Huh. Oh, I see what happened. I accidentally put an extra one. Computers are weird, man.
Yes, they are.
I feel like what's great is as we're taking these like these branches here, we started so and we're still doing fine. Actually, you know what? Well, let me take this chance. Let me run down what we have unanimously. We have blind, it's on, somebody, someone, and thoughtless. And interestingly enough, we only have three that have hit only two of us.
Yeah. So,
I mean, there's still plenty of gameplay, but as we're taking those chances on, like, you know, later stuff, deeper cuts, it's funny that we're not. I'm interested to see where we end up here, because these next couple songs are going to be make or break. I feel like for the actual Whore. List. Whore.
What song were we talking about? Because I was gone. I'm sorry.
Oh, we were just kind of I was just kind of running down what we already had through.
Oh,
so.
Okay, gotcha. No worries.
Curtis.
Yeah, we've got the four songs, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Curtis, you are up.
I really, really like this album a lot, so I'm going to stay on it. So kind of in the back half, like some of the production is more spotty, and I think some of the later Korn albums suffer from some of the loudness wars, and I think that's maybe why the Nothing is so great, because it's so crisp and clear. Mm-hmm. And since it's not, you know, too much in there, you can turn it up and you can listen to it loud and you can have that Korn experience. So I'm gonna try again on there. I think it's really strong as a whole. Maybe it doesn't have that one song that like really got to all three of us unanimously, but I love this one. It's probably my favorite on there. This Loss.
Nah, I don't have that one. Dang it.
No, sir. No, sir. Unfortunately. All right.
All right. Now we're on a streak of these not going well.
Yeah, I know. Right. we haven't touched on See You on the Other Side yet, so I'm gonna dip in here. I was, again, this is one of the ones I was listening to before we started here. Liar.
Mm-mm.
No.
I have literally one song from that album.
Out on my own.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is we get to these later albums, I think like that'll happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, like we've said, there's so much to choose from. And really, some of these are so good that it's like we've said, there's these hard cuts we have to make. And then we throw, even if we had just done the first seven albums, there'd have been hard cuts.
Yeah.
So then we threw 20 more songs at Justin for him to have to make hard cuts on. Mm-hmm. And that we did the same thing with.
Yeah. All right, Sean.
I'm sticking with a later album, but I'm going Serenity of Suffering, that album. And I'm going with Rotting in Vain.
Nope.
Nobody?
Nope.
Why do you guys hate me?
It's very personal.
It is super personal. Justin knows this. It's always personal.
Everything
this,
is always.
This is the most personal thing there is.
Yes, it's true.
It's one of their later songs that I really got into. I thought that, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, but some of their later stuff, I don't know. I like it. I'm trying to think of the correct word for how to describe it. I've got notes here. Let me see if I can find out exactly how I phrased it. It's almost like, again, we're going back to Jonathan Davison there, and the best thing he does is sings about kind of real stuff. And in this one, he's kind of like reaching out about being stuck in an abusive situation and an abusive relationship or something like that, and not being able to get out. And this rotting in vain thing is kind of the theme of that. And I think he and his vocals, particularly in this song, I think he really captures that anguish. So that was the reason I jumped at it. I didn't want to just pass by it without having any logic.
Oh yeah.
You know, but yeah. It's a song that I think that if you're listening to this right now and you love Korn after the 10 songs we come up with, maybe go back and check it out.
Absolutely. All right. Curtis.
Let's stay with a later album here. And this song is, I think, a little bit more intense after his estranged wife passed away a couple years ago. From the Paradigm Shift. It's a big, sick riff, big chorus, intense bridge, kind of that really, really effective Korn formula. Love and Meth.
And I don't have that one. That was one of the ones that I wanted to have, but I didn't end up with it.
I have it. This was one of the ones.
Oh, shoot. Okay, good.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that you guys both presented to me.
Yes.
And yeah. So, gave it some serious consideration, gave it a couple listen-throughs, and I was like, you know what? I'd like to bring this to the table, see if it can get in there. So,
I'm with it. I'm with it.
All right, I'm going to go back to Issues.
Okay.
Let's see, we already did that one. So I'm going to go a more simplistic Korn sound. Again, we talked about it. I had to feel it. It had to make me move. I got Wake Up.
That's a good one, and it was, again, a cut on mine that was painful to make.
Great tune.
Tune. Something about the Issues album that I think they did better than almost any other album was they included these songs and little mini things between them that were almost like, it's almost impossible to listen to that song, like to listen to a song on that album in a vacuum. You need to listen to the whole album because the way they structured this whole thing, for lack of a better term, Justin, you'll appreciate this, was almost like great booking.
Yeah.
In the sense that there's an ebb and flow to the whole thing, and these little things are meant to set the table for the next thing that's coming, and then there's a come down, which brings it, then you get the next thing, and it's so well put together.
Which is a kind of interesting follow-up to Follow the Leader, which feels more like a collection of songs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Well put. Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
All right, Sean?
Okay. Let's see, where am I going next?
I still have 10 left.
Yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to stick with Issues. I'm just going to go with one that, you know what? It's a single for them. It was a huge hit. I remember seeing it everywhere. And it would usually get to about the last, I don't know, 45 seconds of it on VH1. What was it? The video thing where they'd request TRL.
TRL, yeah.
Before they would turn it off. The Falling Away From Me.
Oh, wait. Okay, good.
Great song.
God.
Great song.
I don't have it, but oh my God. Like that song specifically was one of the reasons I was excited to do this show. Like,
and they didn't have it.
And it didn't make it. I was just like, oh man, I remember loving Falling Away From Me, and then like I listened to it and it hung around late. Like it made it to like my 30, like 25, and I think probably somewhere around there was when I dumped it. So, but it's in the conversation. And let me see. I think we might we still need one more to get out of NTP. All right, Curtis.
What is NTP?
Oh, NTP is New Trash Protocol. And if we don't get 10 between unanimous decisions and conversations, we each get to pick two songs out of the trash that we want to bring back for reconsideration. One of our own that we played and one that somebody else played.
All right, gotcha.
All right, yeah. So Curtis.
Yeah, New Trash Protocol feels unlikely here.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Does, right.
We have plenty of gameplay left.
Plenty of game left. So I mentioned before, I really like when they show their influence from The Cure, and one I think is a really good example of that is off of Untitled, Hold On.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I have Hold On.
I do not.
But all right, that's our one more, right?
Yep, that gets us out of absolute worst case scenario is there's no more discussion and everything from the conversation goes into our list. That's worst case scenario.
And you know what? In a situation like this, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're still great.
save us some pain.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we're back over to me. All right, I keep staring at this one from Self-Titled, and I don't care. This is another one where I don't care if you guys don't have it. I love this one. Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders was literally the last cut I made.
Yeah, very, very late cut for me.
It was the last cut I made, and man, it's how It's On got on my list.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'll take It's On over Chutes and Ladders. So what's funny is, like, you've got the bagpipes in there, and mm-hmm. I every time I hear Drew McIntyre's newer WWE,
you think of Korn?
I think of Korn, and I'm like, that's why I love Drew McIntyre's theme now. Like, oh my God, it reminds me of Chutes and Ladders. So
there's a whole group, a generation of teens out there that were exposed to bagpipes that never would have listened to them before.
No, not in a million years.
Yeah.
All right, Sean?
All right. I think I'm going to go back to Life is Peachy. One of the things I liked about Korn was some of the collaborative stuff they did. And they had the one on Follow the Leader with that other guy who can suck a big dick.
Ooh, yeah.
But I liked this one better. I thought this one was really fun and just kind of wild and funky. Wicked.
Nope.
So I cut this.
Yeah.
Because I thought there'd be no chance that anybody else would have it. It'd be a wasted pick. I love this song.
It's so fun, man.
I love this song. Chino tapping.
Yeah, I can't say for a lot of Korn songs, fun. That's not something I say a lot.
Yeah.
But this one's really, this is a lot of fun.
This was a big mistake here on my end.
You overthought yourself.
I apologize.
You overthought yourself.
You thought yourself right out of the game. You
overthought the room. Well, what a great song.
It's what a learning. This is a teaching moment, Curtis.
Yes. the newbie made a big mistake.
Yeah. Don't overthink yourself sometimes. All right, yeah. But you are up.
Yeah, let's stay with Life is Peachy. And here's the song that I probably wasted the spot on, and it should have been Wicked. Twist.
Yeah, I don't have
I actually
it.
Don't have that one on there.
I don't either. That one was a hard one to miss, too, because, like, when, you know, I start listening to Life is Peachy, I'm like, of course Twist is going to be in. And
right.
And then, like, as I'm coming through some of the other stuff, I'm like, well, where the hell do I put it?
Yeah. And that was my thing, is the twist was, and that's another one that you can say fun for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which you can't say for a lot of stuff, but I felt like it was, if I'm making this list, because in my brain, I'm like, I don't want the person who's listening to this to hit shuffle, Twist is the first thing on, and they go, what the hell is this? And
yeah.
Turn it off.
Yeah. It certainly doesn't belong in that. Top, like, if the format is let's make a playlist of 10 songs to introduce this band to someone, that's not the one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the show.
Yep. So I'm going to go with one here that we're going to stay on Life is Peachy that Sean already made fun of. I tried so hard to cut it. I tried a million ways to lose this song.
I wish you were a man and you'd cut it.
I tried so hard, but every time I listen to it, I'm like, so we just mentioned the word fun with Korn and how that doesn't really, it's not really what they do.
Right.
But this song manages to be fun, but still be Korn. It gets the Korn point across. Adidas.
I didn't. It was a late cut for me. I think the gimmickiness of it gets in the way of how it's actually a really good song.
Yeah.
But that's my problem. Yeah.
For me.
That's my problem. Outside of that gimmicky ass name and tagline,
yes.
I think it's a decent song.
Yes.
But I can't get past that which just feels like a ploy to get people to sing it. I couldn't do that one, and there was another one they wrote like that that I couldn't get behind. That not on this album, much later, but still.
All right, I missed. It's sitting there on my list. I had to get it out. Well, in the open.
I get it.
I like it.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna go for another one off another. I'm gonna go for another collaborative project because I don't think anybody else has it, but I really enjoy it. Children of the Corn. I'll Follow the Leader with Ice Cube.
God, that's so good,
dude. Yeah. I think that at the time in the '90s, getting Ice Cube on your album was huge.
Yeah.
And he. It was the song was good. It had the creepy vibe to it and everything. And it was that. And it was absolutely that stand up to authority type, you know, crap that we all loved when we were younger and mm-hmm. everything. And even now, man, I hear it and I just you turn up the bass and just let this thing thump in your car.
Yeah. I do not have it though.
This was a vanity one for me. I figured nobody might have this one.
I thought, if I'm going to cut Wicked, which I think is better.
Right. I get that.
How do I go with this one? But yeah. I like it too.
All right. Curtis.
Yes. I'm just going to be the one to say it and mention the most normie song possible. Freak on a Leash.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
I don't either.
I couldn't.
What's funny is I thought for sure Freak on a Leash was going to be in, but of their hits, it's the one that doesn't do anything for me anymore.
Yeah, what's funny is we brought it before Got the Life. I wasn't really on board with that one either. But if I have to choose between the two of them, I'm probably going with Got the Life.
Yeah.
So the radio edit leaves out what I think is the best part of the song, that like just scatty, like aggressive, guttural, like putting twist into a tune. So yeah. I guess we had to talk about it here, right?
Yeah. it makes sense to make the conversation for sure.
Yes.
I think what we'll do here is, because I still have seven and we're up and over an hour already, gents.
Yeah.
We'll go one more round and then we'll just dump out.
Okay.
I'm gonna trot this one out here. This is from a later record too, from Untitled, Killing.
No.
That was a late cut for me. I like that one.
All right.
But that was a late cut for me. Yeah. I think it was one of the off that album in particular. I think it was one of their stronger songs.
All right, Sean.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to, Issues, and I'm going to go with, Make Me Bad.
Oh yeah. Thank God. I'm
Are
so
we
happy.
All on that one? Nice.
I don't know, but I'm so happy you guys do that it gets to be in the conversation.
It's such a good song. And this one's almost a little weirder off the wall than some of the other Korn stuff. It just doesn't quite have those big, huge riffs and the, you know, but it's just, it's so eerie and ominous and I don't know, man. I just dig it. And it's almost got a groove you want to like get up and move to.
I went with someone instead of Make Me Bad.
I get that. Yeah.
But oh my God, I wanted Make Me Bad so bad because it is so fucking good.
It is really good.
And you guys will have zero, like if that is one that you guys really, really want, I'm in. So, yeah. All right. Curtis.
Yeah. Another probably our slowest, softest Korn song here. Alone I Break.
No.
I don't have that one. and it's so funny because I was with Justin. I was like, man, I feel like this is one that they both might have. So yeah. At least it might still be in the conversation. Yeah. But I had to cut it to make room for some other things on my list.
Love this song.
It's a great song.
All right. So I'm just going to clear out here. So from Life is Peachy, I've got mm-hmm. Ass Itch.
No.
I didn't think so. Let's see. From Take a Look in the Mirror, I have Right Now.
Yes.
Hey.
No.
Okay.
I do.
Let me scroll down here a minute to the R's, Justin and Curtis. All right, we have a conversation officially from same record. When will this end?
No.
No.
All right, overthought the room. Oh, nope.
Oh, well then.
Sorry.
You're just trying to make me leave.
All right, and then let's see, my last couple. I've got off of self-titled Need To.
No.
Need To, just me. All right. From Follow the Leader, Reclaim My Place.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I have Reclaimed My Place.
Yes. In the convo. And then, okay, two more. Oh, looks like this one is Take a Look in the Mirror, too. Break Some Off.
No, yeah. I don't have that one.
Was that a no from you, Curtis?
Correct. No.
Okay. Break Some Off. Justin's all on his own. Lonesome. And last but not least, from Untouchables, Here to Stay.
Yes.
No, but I'm glad you guys, I'm glad that's in the conversation. It's a good song.
That one was, like, I kept going back and forth with Here to Stay, because I'm pretty sure, again, was that the lead single from Untouchables?
Was it the lead single? I honestly don't remember now.
I remember when it hit.
That sounds right.
When it hit, I was like, for some reason, out. And when I heard it now, I was like, why would I be out? why was this what turned me off to Korn? I don't understand. Like, this is great.
Yeah, it was the first single.
So for whatever reason, it turned me off, then it turned me back on. Now, turn off, turn on. All right.
All right. As long as it worked.
Yep. All right, Sean, you want to clear out?
Sure, why not? Let's see. I've got from See You on the Other Side, I've got Coming Undone.
Mm.
No, from both of you? All right.
Yeah.
Jerks. From The Nothing, I've got Can You Hear Me?
No. Great song.
Justin?
Nope. I'm out. I got nothing left.
Oh, that's right. What am I doing over here? All right. So, Curtis, then you're going to have to let me down a few times. Let me see. From Follow the Leader, I've got Dead Bodies Everywhere.
Dead Bodies Everywhere.
Great song, very late cut for me. No,
Dead
though.
Dead Bodies Everywhere. I thought when I'm looking at Follow the Leader, I thought for sure Dead Bodies Everywhere was in.
Right.
Nope.
And my last one is from Serenity of Suffering. It's Take Me.
No.
Ah, man. I'm all 0 for however many I just named.
All right. Just for funsies, you want to clear out what you got left, Curtis?
I just have one. It's Life is Peachy, No Place to Hide.
Huh. All right. So, all the way through, we got 4. We started hot.
Did start hot, and then we jinxed ourselves by bringing up that we started hot.
Yep.
But, some absolute no-brainers here in the conversation, though.
Yeah, we got Blind, It's On, Somebody, Someone, and Thoughtless in. And it looks like we have 10 through to the conversation. So we have Clown.
4 cuts to make.
Yep, 4 cuts to make. Clown, Falling Away From Me, Good God, Got the Life, Here to Stay, Hold On, Love and Meth, Make Me Bad, Reclaim My Place, and Right Now.
Hang on, I wanna make this a little easier on all of us. You said it was Clown. What was the next one?
Falling Away From Me.
All right, I'm gonna put them in the chat for us.
Okay.
So we can all see what's left. Okay.
Good God.
Good God. Okay.
Got the Life.
Crap. That's not how you spell life. Okay.
Here to Stay.
Here to Stay. Okay.
Hold On.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Love and Meth.
All right.
Make Me Bad.
Right.
Reclaim My Place.
Right.
And Right Now.
Right Now. All right, cool.
So I think before we pass one through, let's make a cut.
Okay.
So is there one of those 10 that you feel like, man, it's awesome that it made it this far, but it really doesn't belong. It doesn't stand a chance.
Man, that's hard. Is there one? Maybe looking at it, and it was on my list, but that's just, this is how I'm feeling about it. Just from reading the room, maybe Clown.
Yeah, Yeah, I hate it because I love it.
Dude, all of these songs are going to be difficult to make choices on, but Clown was the one that jumped out at me right away as the one that I'm like, I feel like that's the least chance.
Yeah, I mean, unless you feel differently, Curtis.
No, that's a fine choice. The first record's got representation.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed. Good choice. Good call.
All right. So that brings us down to 9. What is there one there that you're looking at, Curtis, that you're like, man, that probably just does not stand a chance at this point?
I picked it.
I appreciate that we're both going with things we picked.
Yeah. I picked it. I don't think this is quintessential Korn and belongs in that top 10 introductory songs. Hold On to Me could be a cut.
Okay. Unless Sean really wants to fight to keep it in.
No, I don't feel drastically on it compared to everything else. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The thing is I could fight for the song, but then I'm like, but would I compared to these other songs? Like, I'm having to make that decision. It's like, yeah. I don't think I will.
Yeah. So
that can go.
All right. So that brings us to 8. So we 2 more cuts. Now let's start putting stuff through.
Getting closer, gentlemen.
I'm looking at this and immediately I'm wanting Make Me Bad.
Yes. Same.
Yes.
Because I felt so bad about not having that. And
yes.
I fucking love that song. I even, like, as I was listening, I started tweeting out the lyrics because I was like, man, I forgot how good these were. Like, and the fact that it did not make my 20, just it physically hurt.
yeah, that'll happen.
All right. So is there one of the 7 remaining, Sean, that you're like, yeah, I need that.
What did we have through already? Let me look at that again real quick. We had 4 of them. It was Blind. It was, I've got it right here. Blind, Somebody, Someone, It's On, and Thoughtless. For some representation of the later stuff, I think I'd really like to see something like Love and Meth.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
Okay, so let's get Love and Meth.
And I didn't even pick that one, thank you.
Selfless, sir.
Yes, that's me.
All right. Is there one that you need to have of the 6 remaining, Curtis?
I feel like Here to Stay might be my favorite song of what we have on here.
It's a great one.
All right. What do you think, Sean? Here to Stay in?
I think you can make an argument for that one. Yeah. I think you can make a really strong argument for that needing to stay in. Because I'm looking at some of these other ones, and outside of Falling Away From Me and Got, well, I guess, so I guess the other two. Falling Away From Me, Got the Life, Big Hits. Good God, Reclaim My Place, Right Now. Those feel a little more off the wall compared to those two. But not Make Me Bad. Here to Stay, I feel like that one needs, I'm with him. I think that should go.
All right, so we have 5 left to pick 3. So now let's make the conversation interesting. We have Falling Away From Me, Good God, Got the Life, Reclaim My Place, Right Now. With the 5 that are left, mm-hmm. How are you feeling about Got the Life at this point, Sean?
And then we need 3?
We need 3. Would Got the Life make your top 3 out of these 5?
Got the Life would be number 4.
Okay. All right.
I'll say that right now. I could probably number all 5 of them that are left for you, but I just Got the Life would fall just out of my top 3.
So for you, there's pretty much no chance of Got the Life at this point.
Though I will say this pretty much, the one that has the least chance for me right now is Right Now.
Okay.
That's at the bottom of my list currently.
All right. So
should we just cut that?
Okay.
I mean, it depends on how you guys feel about it.
Yeah. I'm not married to it. So
yeah, I hate the way that record sounds. So I like the songwriting. That's a very good tune, but
right. But the mastering and the mixing and
you boy, yeah. We can cut that one right now. Dead.
Okay. All right, let's do it. So three of the 4, Falling Away From Me, Good God, Got the Life, Reclaim My Place. Which one would be the odd man out for you, Curtis?
I love this tune as a song. I don't think this is quintessential Korn. Got the Life.
Yeah, I think when you whittle it down this far, I think Got the Life is the odd one out.
I'm so happy you guys said that. I was holding my breath over here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's much more of a top 40-ish type vibe than it is like a, like this, the Korn style, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm very happy that it got this far because I've fallen back in love with that song.
Great, great song.
You can easily point to a lot of these and say, you know, it's a bummer that it's not making it all the way through. But the sheer fact that it was in the conversation when there's so much music.
Yes.
Well, and then,
you know,
if you want to take the more direct approach, it was right up against Reclaim My Place from the same record. So, like,
yes,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take Reclaim My Place over Got the Life any day. So,
right. I agree.
All right.
I would like to point out that I'm just thrilled that Good God made it through.
Hey.
Yeah. We backdoored on that one, didn't we?
We did backdoor on that one. Because we didn't get, the one with the name I'm not going to say from the first album.
Yes.
Similar vibe and the angstiness and whatnot and the standing up to people and this, that, and the other thing. And I feel like that sort of songwriting from Jonathan Davis needed to have a place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Good God's a great representation of that.
Yes.
All right, so let's turn up the heat. Here's our 10. Blind, Falling Away From Me, Good God, Here to Stay, It's On, Love and Meth, Make Me Bad, Reclaim My Place, Somebody, Someone, and Thoughtless. Sean, of those 10, what is the one song you would say, here, this is Korn?
Man, that's rough. The one, I thought for some reason you were going to ask me, like, which one should start the playlist? Because I was going to look at you like you were crazy.
I mean, yeah, you know, similar question. But the number one with a bullet.
But if I had to, but see, it's different because for me, if I'm starting a playlist, I've got a vibe I'm going for. You know what I mean? Like I'm setting the table. So I would want to start a playlist with Blind. But if I can only pick one song out of this whole group to show to somebody and say, listen to this, this is Korn. Oh, man. Out of these 10 songs, it might be Falling Away From Me.
Interesting. Okay.
Just because that was another huge one for me as I grew up.
All right. Where are you at, Curtis? Which one do you think is the number one?
I think it's very, very easily Blind for me.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. Just the first song you share with someone by Korn,
mm-hmm.
having that Are You Ready? Like, it's just so, like, the song format is not there, like, the style that we've come to be custom with. It's just so them.
I guess that was my concern, though, when I'm thinking about it, is if I can only play one song for them to represent what Korn has done as a whole, Falling Away From Me, while it's not midway through their stuff, feels like a good middle ground through their songwriting and their structuring and their this, that, and the other thing. Whereas Blind still feels like very early Korn, and everything they're going to listen to after that is going to sound really different.
So let me go ahead and make this harder for us.
Okay.
Play a little bit of Falling Away From Me.
Does this ever help?
No, it's never once ever helped. Never. That's why I do it. Because I hate myself. Ugh. So, here's the thing. Just getting that far. I think I have to go with Sean here with Falling Away From Me. Because it gets to Korn sooner. If that makes sense. As much as I love Blind and you have that Are You Ready, you have that like awesome build, you just got a couple notes and then boom, suddenly Korn. Here we are.
Falling Away For Me could be like one of maybe five or six songs. It's like a sick riff,
mm-hmm.
you know, the quiet chorus, big quiet verses, big soaring chorus,
right,
and a really, really angry, intense bridge. It's got all the, it's got all the features. Like, mm-hmm. no argument for me there.
It has generally the same kind of like the, all those things you're talking about, like Blind, you know what I mean? But it just, it, it's just to me, like Justin said, it gets to the corn so, so much faster. And whereas in Blind, you've got the dan-an-an-it, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yep. And then you wait for the bass line, and then you wait for that. Right. It takes a while. It's kind of, it's there, and you're kind of waiting for it to build. But with the beginning of Falling Away from Me, this is going to sound silly, but it's almost like those creepy notes at the beginning, man, they're meant to draw you in and mm-hmm. pull you into the song. And it happens quickly, but it's almost a come hither, boy. You know,
yes, like, yeah.
And very, type thing. Very obvious of the slap bass, too.
Oh,
yeah. It, yeah. No
just
complaint.
Feel the Evertight very strings. Serious. I don't think so.
No.
I think he's using the same strings he had back then.
Yes.
All right, let's crank this for a minute. Falling away from me. Correct me if I'm wrong. Falling Away from Me was like the sequel video to Freak on a Leash, wasn't it?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
pretty sure you're right.
Oh God, I never would have seen that being our number one, but I don't think it's arguable.
And the thing people need to understand is that we're not saying that it is 100% their best song ever.
Mm-hmm.
It is just as a group, as we're discussing this, if we had to play one song for you to be like. To represent a band and say, hey, look, check these guys out. We'd play that song. Because, I mean, really, you look at so many bands, their best songs are going to be songs that are going to be so off the wall,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so different from what they might normally do. But you have to have an appreciation for them before you get to that point.
Yeah.
A great track one for, hey, check this out.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. All right. So Falling Away from Me is our number one. Rounding out the list, we have Blind, Good Guy, Good God, I swear I can talk. Good Guy. You think I'm just the good guy for the job? Here to Stay, It's On, Love and Meth, Make Me Bad, Reclaim My Place, Somebody, Someone, Thoughtless are our 10. Gentlemen, we have done it. And you can do it too. Patreon.com/OhHiJustin. $1 a month gets you in the club. We would love to have you aboard as a patron, and you get tons and tons of content, including but not limited to Deprogrammed Before the Rest of the World. So just keep that in mind. We'd love to have you aboard. You can join our Discord. That's always a good time, fun times. We're a podcast, obviously. You can listen to us on all podcast platforms. Subscribe, rate, comment if those are things you like to do. What I would prefer you do is tell a friend that you enjoy this show. Tell somebody. Share. Would love that. And look, if you want to play, it's simple. Reach out to me at The Hulkster on Twitter and come be on the show. A lot of people were listeners of the show before they were panel members. So you want to be a panel member? It's really that simple. Come talk to me. All right. We've done it, gentlemen. We have turned people on to corn. So with that, corn, learn them and love them, people. We'll see you next week. Bye.